Online Podcast 160.
Lagi biru kita. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Online Podcast. Oh, I forgot to turn on my power switch. Oop! Energy 110.
Wow. Woo! Woo! Take the Skittles away from that one.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Online Podcast. Last week, we sort of have a rough week because of all the bigots around us. And this week, I decide to lighten up a tiny bit. But don't let your guard down because those bigots
never
will bite.
Let your guard down with those sons of bitches.
So today, we're going to have a little spice on our show. Welcome. You heard the voice, but you may not know who this person is.
Who the hell is that on my podcast?
Yeah, who are you, honey?
This is Chef Mark.
That is Chef Mark from several different podcasts.
From a couple of different shows.
Tell
the Remarkable
us about
Palette podcast and the Remarkably Mark podcast, which is my new personal podcast.
Yes.
All about my life.
Now, I like eating outside of the kitchen. I like to say outside of the chicken because
outside of the chicken.
Because one time,
ooh, yeah, we wouldn't want to get arrested now.
Oh no, not spring chicken, just chicken.
Not that kind of chicken.
No, not GAI, not guy.
Not guy.
No.
Guy.
One thing I want to tell you, I've got one thing to say. RuPaul's performance was a little bit disappointing at Pride.
Oh, was she at Kansas City Gay Pride?
Yes, she was.
What'd that bitch sing?
She sang
old shit.
Yeah, I in fact like
the
older shit.
The
newer shit were kind of blah. And the thing is, what we realize is now I like RuPaul as a recording artist, as a performer on music videos, I would say, because she's not very exciting in person. I don't know whether it's that night or she just, you know, she looks gorgeous. She walk around and she sounds wonderful. But
well, her whole persona is this sort of glamazon type thing, you know, glamorous, gorgeous sort of, you know, supermodel thing. And also, like, she tries to be inspirational and funny, which is great and wonderful, but it's not as, you know, the thing that people respond to in a big party like that is either raucous humor or just, you know, craziness.
Yeah.
As opposed to glamour. You know, glamour, it's hard in that kind of context to
responded
to. I've seen her live, and actually, if you ever seen the Wigstock movie, that the whole section where RuPaul was performing, it was I literally moved to New York the day before that happened.
Oh.
And I moved to my very first apartment on East 11th Street at between Avenues B and C the day before, and then Wigstock was there. That was the last year that Wigstock happened in Tompkins Square Park in the East Village. And so I had all my crates and my boxes, but I hauled my ass over to Tompkins Square Park and I saw that live. All that shit on that movie, I was there live.
How nice. Did you
very first year living in New York.
Did you take a picture?
I don't have any pictures of that day.
Well, you know, sometimes it's better. Like,
but I have the movie.
Okay,
you know, I just
yeah.
go look at the movie. And a bunch of my friends, like people who, what's weird is that I go back and I look at that, and a lot of people who later became my friends.
Oh,
or like
were
people
there?
That I met over the years. But it's like, you know, you can see them in the crowd during that movie. You know,
oh, how fun.
And then the second year in Wigstock, I don't know if you remember from the movie, this it's over 2 years. It's the one year it's at the last year at Tompkins Square Park, and the other year was the first year at the piers on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of cool to see that, you know, like the different, you know, what different people were wearing, different years and all that.
One,
anyway,
you know what?
Major sidetrack. You were talking
about
RuPaul
this year. No, in fact, that's
year.
Actually pretty good. Yeah, RuPaul this year is a little boring, but what I was going to say is, I don't even know why I brought that up, but I forgot it. But anyway, but you kind of led me into a whole different thing that I want to ask you.
Okay.
What brought you to New York City?
Well, okay, I went to school in Connecticut. I went to Yale and I studied French literature and theater. And I had stars in my eyes. I was gonna be an actor. I saw the red shoes. No.
and then all of a sudden you're here in Kansas.
In Kansas?
Red shoes and...
Oh, okay. Right. I'm not in Kansas anymore. Where's Toto?
I'm in Missouri.
Right. That'd be great if we remade The Wizard of Oz, but instead of Toto, we put Steva in there.
Oh, Steva's cute. Steva would have
bit that fucking witch
that whore.
In the first scene, and the whole movie would have been over. He would have just pissed on her, and she would have melted right there.
Oh, I like Steva. So if you want to see a picture of Steva, you should go to Mark's website, which is Remarkably Mark, that I can't spell.
remarkablymark.blogspot.com.
Yeah, just go to my website and we'll link you there.
And that's all. That's like we were saying, that's like the personal life blog / podcast.
Yeah, now really, I personally like that kind of podcast more than anything else. I find myself...
A lot of people have said that already. I just put out the first episode yesterday, and already I've had like 5 people write to me say, oh, you know, it's great that you have your other, you know, your professional podcast, but this one I like more.
Yeah. I definitely do. And I am the one, I love cooking. I like to, you know, work in the kitchen. I like to do all the stuff that you talk on your professional podcast, but... I just, you know, it's just different. You know, once you have, relate podcasts to something a little bit more personal, and even though other shows maybe, you know, you're either with your professional podcast and all the other shows out there, a little bit more polished and more, you know, organized and all that. But I still like to go back to those a little bit more of a, you know, normal daily life type thing.
Well, you're right. And I think that I also respond to those kinds of shows. I mean, we all do, you know, when you hear personal stories and really get a glimpse of someone. I mean, I never thought that I would be listening to, an Archer radio every single day. But I do, because it's just compelling, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to know someone. I mean, you know, I first came across this, I thought, well, geez, here's this guy in D.C. He's a teacher. He's got a boyfriend. Big deal. Big whoop. And then I started listening.
Exactly. Until you example it.
And you get hooked.
Until you sample it. You don't really know what they are. And like I said, I think I said it on maybe Wanda's interview or something. I'm wheezing. I have asthma.
Oh, dear.
Asthma, like
if you, if you need to take a break, go ahead.
No, I don't need to.
Do the little the inhaler.
Actually, I do take have it. I have a penis pump. I have a penis pump that's in between my inhaler and my mouth, because I don't like the taste of my inhaler. Because it's kind of a little bitter. And so I like to have that little tube that is a training inhaler thing called something chamber or something. So it kind of trapped I'm doing it right now. I'm shaking my inhaler.
Okay.
If you can hear it. No, you can't hear it.
But, I can't hear it, no.
Okay, now I'm opening up the inhaler. I'm shaking and I'm putting in the penis pump. And then I'm going to pump it. I'm going to take a sip of my... Not a
pump
sip.
Pump it, baby, pump it.
Okay, listen to this.
I heard the little poof poof. I guess he's breathing it in now. He's holding it. Don't choke. Swallow it down. Take your medicine.
Ah, much better. And so
there you go. That's something I feel badly for people. I see people all the time doing that, and I feel luckily I'm blessed. I don't suffer from asthma, but I see people who do, and it must be a terrible thing not to be able to breathe freely.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a bitch, but I got it like maybe 4 years ago. I got it as an adult.
Do you think it's a result of having moved to where you are and the environmental?
I have no idea. That could be a possibility, and it could also be that I have always had it. It just
didn't manifest itself.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't care. It usually happens. I just didn't think of it as asthma. So, you know, I never thought of that.
Oh,
but what?
Okay.
My good Lord, what brought us here? What brought us? What were we talking about?
Well, we were sort of talking about just how, like, the differences in different kinds of podcasts. Let me tell you, you know, I started the Remarkable Palate podcast because I heard about this podcasting thing, and I thought, well, oh, I should do that. And, you know, at the time I was working, you know, it was a concerted marketing idea. Mm-hmm. It was to get the word out about personal chefing and what the personal chef concept is. I think there's still a lot of people who don't really know what a personal chef is or understand it or think that it's something that they could have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this was my purpose in doing this. And I think a lot more people now do know what personal chefs are and how they, you know, and how it works. And so it's been a great marketing tool for me. So that, you know, was started on that. And one of the frustrations I had is that I never was able to really, you know, there's all this stuff I'm interested in. But of course, I didn't want to dilute the message of my podcast by talking about all this other stuff. You know, not that I was hiding it. It's just, you know, the message of my podcast.
Just the wrong podcast.
It's a culinary focused show. Yeah. And, you know, we then went on and built the Culinary Podcast Network. I founded that and we hosted at the Gilded Fork, which is the company that I co-own with my partner, Jennifer Yanolo. And she also hosts the Food Philosophy podcast, which is really cool. So anyone who's interested in food, we have 13 different shows in the feed, and it's at culinarypodcastnetwork.com. And, you know, a little something for everyone. But yeah, they're all really focused on food, so it's very specific. But so, you know, this is a new adventure doing the non- professional podcasting, and it's, you know, there's this openness, and it's great.
You kind of liberating too, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, like you, I have a lot of interests, and I have a lot of expression, and you know, I love photography. Oh, excuse me. See, now you've given me asthma.
Asthma.
I'm just kidding. I shouldn't joke. I shouldn't joke about that. Asthma. I have asthma. I've had my face in too many asses.
asthma.
Yeah. So, you know, I have lots of stuff that I want to share. And
yeah, that's precisely why I started the show, is because I do so many things, and I have the personality that all my friends tell me that, oh, you know, you have.
Did you say personality?
Pussinality? No, personality.
It sounded like you just said pussinality.
No, that's a pussy.
You have a one-track mind.
I have many personalities.
Right. Your middle name is Sybil.
And hello. Hello. How are you doing?
Who's there?
Knock, knock. So yeah, that's why I started the show. And so I really like your new Remarkably Mark podcast.
Right on, baby.
So go check that out. But I want to ask you, you were telling me, so what brought you to New York, really? I mean, I know you wanted to act because
I actually was an actor.
Yeah.
My first year, the thing that enabled me to sort of to move to New York was that I got a job as a teacher. And my first year, I taught French at an all-girls school on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
That French is the only language, well, not the only language, but French is the language I know nothing about.
Well, I mean, come on. Yeah, you speak Penang Hokkien, you speak Cantonese, you speak
I would like
English.
To learn someday.
You speak, what else do you speak? Singlish?
Singlish, thank you very much, sir. That's right. Not really Singlish, but that's like my really poor English.
Malay,
yes.
It would actually be shorter to list the languages you don't speak. So let's see, French. Okay,
no,
there we go,
really.
We're done.
I don't speak French, I don't speak Italian, I don't speak Spanish. Now, Spanish is my
language. That's ironic,
language.
Because those are the languages that I speak, but I don't speak any of the other. I don't speak any of the other ones that you speak. So
buongiorno.
We'd be like a perfect team. We could go throughout Europe and Asia and be understood.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Oh, except we couldn't. So you say, yeah, we couldn't go to Germany because I don't speak German. Jawohl. Wunderbar.
The only thing that I know of German is Volkswagen.
Volkswagen. Vergnügen.
In fact, I've sang German, but, you know, singing.
Yeah.
I sang a lot. I sang Italian.
I sang German in a choir once. Ich hör meinen Schatz.
I sang the...
Leaving the string in the strength in the vice.
Oh, you still remember? I don't remember my lyrics. There's one that I remember. Und brach, something like that. But anyway, I sang
das
the...
Das ist der Moon. Why does all German singing sound so like... dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Oh, chutzpah. No, Brahms Requiem is what I sang.
Brahms Requiem, okay.
Yeah. And I actually perform at Carnegie Hall with a big group of singers.
All right.
Several years ago, when I was still young, when I was still a spring chicken.
When I was 17.
When I
it was, a very good
when
year.
When I was a whore.
Yesterday afternoon.
When I was a whore a few minutes ago. Wipe my mouth.
As I wipe my lips.
gracious.
You're terrible.
Well, anyway, go back to you were you.
Yeah,
you
so
were
you know, I taught French in an upper girl at a girls' school on the Upper East Side, and then you know, I was pursuing my acting as well, and then I only did the teaching for a year, and then I quit, and I was you know, and then I pursued the acting, and yeah, I mean, I did the New York acting thing for 10 years, you know, for a good 10 years, and
wow.
I managed to do a lot of you know, a lot of different stuff. I did, you know, I did off Broadway, off Broadway. I was actually on Broadway. I was with National Actors Theater for a year. This was the company that was started by Tony Randall. And
yeah.
I was with them for a season. And I did, on Broadway, we did The School for Scandal, which is a Richard Brinsley Sheridan play. It's a restoration comedy. And then we did Inherit the Wind, which is a great American drama.
What is the most memorable
performance
as an actor in New York for you?
I would say Inherit the Wind, simply because it was the biggest profile thing that I ever did. It was, it starred George C. Scott, who was a very famous American actor, and it was his final stage performance that he ever gave. And it was George C. Scott, Charles Durning was in that, Tony Randall was in it as well, and, you know, some other actors who, people may not know their names, but they've seen them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the actors, the guy who played the guy who was on trial, you know, Inherit the Wind is a play that's sort of based on the famous Scopes Monkey trial that happened in the 20s in Dayton, Tennessee. And it's, you know, it was the teaching evolution in schools trial.
Oh, yeah, I know that, yes.
Right, and so they made this play about it. You know, it was a very famous play. It debuted in 1955. And interestingly enough, Tony Randall was in the original cast as well. He played the reporter that was based on H.L. Mencken. You know, H.L. Mencken was a real reporter in real mm-hmm. life, and the reporter character in the play was played by Tony Randall. And then, you know, 40 years later, when we did it in 95, he was the understudy for the main role. And he actually went on numerous times because George C. Scott was ill and a lot and wasn't able to go on all the time. So the guy who was on trial was played by an actor named Garrett Dillahunt, who of late has really gotten a lot of prominence. He has been a series regular on ER now for the last couple of seasons. He plays the ex-husband of Sam, the nurse. And if anyone saw the season finale of ER this year, he's the guy who shoots up the whole place as he breaks out of prison. Mm-hmm. And Garrett was also in he also was in the HBO series Deadwood last season. He was in that. He's been in a lot of stuff lately. So anyway, he was in that. A bunch of other. Anthony Heald was in that. Anthony Heald played the reporter character in that production. He's probably best known to audiences as the guy who was the jailer at the loony bin in the movie Silence of the Lambs.
Oh,
you know, the guy that Hannibal Lecter I'm having an old friend for dinner. So there were a lot of really interesting people in that play. So that was an interesting production.
So
you know,
how is life as an actor outside of the theater? Like, how's your life? You know, outside of
well, I mean, I'm no longer an actor.
How was it when you were there?
It's interesting. I think you know there are a lot of
actor.
I think there are a lot of ideas about the business which are true. I mean, it is, you know, people, it's like when you say you're an actor, people either roll their eyes or they go, oh, that must be a difficult business. And it is, but you know, it's not just like, oh, my life is difficult and I'm miserable. There are plenty of those actors, but you know, I didn't really choose to be that kind of actor when I was that actor. You know, I just thought, no, I mean, this is what I do and I love it, and you know, I did other jobs as well, but you know, there came a time when I really wasn't advancing the way that I thought I might advance, mm-hmm. And I think I entered the business at a sort of interesting period because it was at the time when some opportunities were starting to open up for quote unquote minority actors,
uh-huh.
but I was just a little bit too,
too early.
I entered the business a little too early, yeah, just a couple years before that, and so what usually happens is, you know, the first year that you're out, you have to sort of hit, meaning you have to get hired in something big, or
uh-huh.
you know, if you land an agent right on and they send you on the right stuff. If you've been here in New York and in the business for a few years and you haven't really hit, then people sort of think, well, there must be a reason, and they don't hire you. And so a lot of the kinds of stuff that was available to me when I was going out were not really me. I mean, anyone who knows me and has heard me knows that I don't fit any kind of stereotypes. And at the time, a lot of the roles were still a little bit stereotypical, you know, especially here in New York. You know, when they have a call for a Latino actor, they usually mean Puerto Rican. And I'm not Puerto Rican, nor am I Mexican. I mean, I'm from New Mexico, and I have Spanish heritage. But so, you know, I sort of don't really fit into any of these neat categories. I joke with people that, you know, eventually, at some point, I'd like to go back into the business, whether it's just as an amateur for fun or whether it's professionally. Mm-hmm. And I say that, you know, I'm going to wait until I'm somewhere between George Clooney and Edward James Olmos, because by then there will be writing those roles. You know, someone will be writing a role that is that, you know, and that's who I'm going to be, right? I'm going to be halfway between George Clooney and Edward James Olmos, you know, maybe when I get a little more gray in my hair. You know? So who knows? It might be.
Well, but, maybe a podcast will bring you there.
There we go.
Or maybe, so, you know, maybe, I, when maybe I left my business, podcast will bring you there.
There we go. That's it. You can actually put me. You can dub me into Hokkien, and some casting director in KL will hear it and bring me
actually,
over to Malaysia.
You can pass as a Malay.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I have had so many people when I've traveled to Asia. I've had people think that I was part Asian, and it's weird. I literally, this is a funny story. I was in, of all places, Tiananmen Square. Okay? I'm in Beijing, in the middle of Tiananmen Square, and this girl comes up to me, you know, and she said her name was Sunny, and she wanted to practice her English, you know. And I guess this happens a lot. I don't know, when you travel, there's a lot of, you know, you go to a place and they see obviously you're a foreigner, and they want to practice their English, or they want to talk to you just being a foreigner, you know. Uh-huh. And of course, I'm looking around going, where's the cameras, you know, like you know, are the secret police watching me, you know, is this poor girl going to get taken away, you know, for talking to a foreigner? So we just sat there and talked, and she said, pardon me, she asked me if I was part Chinese, because I look Chinese. She said, like, you know, is one of your parents Chinese? And I said, no, really. But it is interesting, when you look at my father and when you look at my little brother, there are definite sort of Asian characteristics to us.
Oh. Which,
it's interesting. I think we have a little bit of Native American.
That's probably
in our family. You know, we're from the Southwest, so obviously there's a lot of Native American. And I think it's certainly well understood that, you know, Native Americans first came over from Asia, you know.
Yeah.
So way back when we were cousins, you and I.
Mm. That's why people should stop hating people, because, you know, no matter what, you're somewhat related.
Well, of course we are. We're all related.
So we're
and
all
I think
related.
And this is part of my one of my great philosophies is, and I'm actually writing a paper. I was approached by a gentleman who's editing a scholarly journal, and it's a book that's called Food Philosophy, mm-hmm. and they've asked me to write an article for it as a chef. They wanted to get a chef's perspective, and I'm writing a paper called Diplomacy of the Dish, and it's all about sort of, you know, how we can understand. I mean, it's right there what I put out on my website. You know, we can understand and celebrate each other by sharing food. You know, this is the way in. You know, the stomach is sort of the way in to understanding and to accepting cultures. And I think to myself, well, you know, if we eat their food and we sit down at table with them and they share their what they've made and we love it, we say, God, this is really good. Mm-hmm. You know, how could someone, you know, how could an idiot or a you know, an inferior race or whatever, you know, make something that's so good? You know, they're regular people just like us, and they have loves and passions and desires, and they have expressions that are beautiful, and they have food that's amazing.
Yeah, and so, everybody understands the language of food too, though. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the way in, I think, for people, for a lot of people who may not be able to put, you know, into higher concepts. You know, they may not be thinking philosophically, but they certainly, you know, you eat the food and you think, hey, this
is
really good.
What about
chicken feet?
I can get
to know about these people. Oh, the little chicken feet. You know, when I was in Hong Kong, oh, wow. I went, you know, I go local. When I go to places, I go local.
I tried to do that too.
I went to Hong Kong and I gnawed on the little chicken feet. Mm. It was pretty good, you know, especially with those sauces they put on.
Yeah. You know? In fact, it's just the technique of eating, or I don't know, it's the idea that it's gross. It's not really the food that's gross, I think.
I think what it is that a lot of Westerners, we don't have a whole animal concept
correct,
of food.
Yes.
And it's starting to actually come into vogue now a little bit. You start to see it in the food world. They call it the whole hog concept.
Mm-hmm.
And so really the whole, you know, we throw throw away so many pieces of the animal. And of course, a lot of quote unquote not high culture, not high cuisine, have, you know, they take those castaway parts that maybe the ruling class has thrown away, and they make something amazing out of it. I mean, a lot of, you know, great soul food. The whole notion of soul food came out of that. It was the slaves got the leftover crap, the entrails, the fatty bits, the shoulders, the hooves, you know, the chitlins, all of that junk from the animal. When the masters got the really filet, nice, the choice cuts, and they made these amazing dishes out of this horrible stuff, you know, and. You know, I think people are starting to sort of get that and discover that. But so, you know, my whole concept is that I think we can understand each other through it's a way in. It's a way of beginning to understand another culture. And so, you know, you take someone to a Malaysian restaurant and start to talk about the food, and they ask questions, and then you say, well, how did this develop, and why is this different from Chinese food, and how is it different from our food? And the story of a culture is in its food.
Oh my gosh, I can just picture us doing like a 2-hour show, 3-hour show in a restaurant, just eating food and talking about the history.
Oh, we've got to. When you come to New York, we'll do that. I'm sure you can tell me so many great stories about some of the dishes that I couldn't be able to share with my listeners. I mean, I could talk to them about how it's made, and I could talk about the taste and all that, but I wouldn't have the cultural stories that go into the dishes, you know, and how it got its name, or why do we cook it this way? You know, there are a lot of stories like that. I mean, you know, one of the greatest stories of food like that is tied in, you know, the Passover Seder. If you look at the Seder plate, this is a meal that tells the history of the Jewish people, and the reasons why they eat things. It's all tied in with their religion. And so, you know, those are something, if you just looked at that and ate the food without any of that context, you wouldn't get that story. You wouldn't understand why. And I'm sure that every culture has that. You know, there are stories within each of the foods that give you a lot about what it means to be from that culture that you would not get otherwise.
And of course, as I'm farther away from the country, I tend to appreciate it more than when I was there. Most people are, I think.
That's kind of homesickness, you know, in a way.
Especially food, you can imagine. Especially food. It's like, oh, heaven.
Well, what's interesting, you know, there are quite a few Malaysian restaurants, especially in the bigger cities, but one of the things that's amazing about all of the Southeast Asian countries is the street food.
Yeah.
And you can't really get that in a restaurant.
Food. We call it hawker food.
Hawker food, yeah.
Hawker? In the hawker?
The stalls. Yeah, guys who scream and say, you know,
They would knock on the bowl. They would knock on the bowl. They use a spoon to knock on the bowl. Ting, 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 ting. And glass bowl.
Shit, I don't have a glass bowl. Wait a minute.
Porcelain bowl.
It doesn't make the same noise.
Yeah,
it does. Is that it?
Yeah. In fact. Okay, let me just give you one story. Wonton noodle. It's wonton and the yellow noodle. In fact, in Hokkien, we call it tok tok mee because of the sound. Tok 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 tok. It's called tok tok mee.
Because they knock on the bowl to get you to come by it.
The spoon and the porcelain spoon and the bowl knock knocking, and then it creates a sound.
Right.
And that's why we call it tok tok mee. Tok tok mee.
See, we would have no, and an American would have no idea.
Correct.
Unless they spoke to someone who came from that culture who would be able to explain that.
Yeah.
They just say, oh, it's called tok tok thing, whatever. Yeah. That's the name of it. That's just a name. Well, you know, names have contexts.
Yeah. So, it's very interesting.
Yes.
Indeed. I still want to talk about something. Let's just touch on one other topic. And then we'll have to have you. No. We can either have you come back, or we can go over to I'm subscribed, but you can go check out Remarkably Mark as well as Remarkable Palette show. But I like the Remarkably Mark better. But anyway, I'm just biased.
That's because you're gay.
I'm biased.
You're bi, yes.
I'm a bi-ass.
You're a bi-ass. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
My question is,
I want to talk about your cutie pie dog, Steva.
My cutie pie, my baby. Oh, look, his ears perked up when I said that.
Now, this is the connection. That's why I like the show. I used to have a mini pincher also at home.
Oh,
in Malaysia.
What was your mini-pincher's name?
Wawa.
What was his name?
Wawa.
Wawa. A boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
A boy.
Now,
Wawa.
The reason why we call him Wawa was because when he was so tiny, we didn't know what breed it was. And, you know, I'm not educated, well, in the sense of knowing what breed. And so he looked like a Chihuahua, you know, because of the size. So we thought it was Chihuahua.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So we were
saying, a lot of people think that,
yeah,
that they're Chihuahuas.
So Wawa, and Wawa is not...
Oh, I see, like Chihuahua. Okay.
Yeah, Chihuahua. So, and Wawa also means doll. Wawa in Chinese means dolls.
Oh, and they're cute, like,
they're
small,
cute,
like
little tiny little thing. And yeah. So I used to have Wawa, and he is black, and his ears are not snipped or whatever you call.
They're
it.
They're not cropped.
Yeah,
yeah. They're natural.
Natural.
Do they stand up on their own, or do
yeah.
they flop over?
No, stand up and very very.
He might
big.
Have come from Australia.
Oh, very well could be.
Yes, because in the breed standard of the miniature pincher says that the ears must stand erect. It doesn't say that you must crop them. It just says they must stand erect, right? That's the breed standard.
Uh-huh.
And in Australia, they have bred the animals in such a way that you know they've chosen for that characteristic. So the uh-huh. ones where their ears naturally stand erect, so their ears look longer, obviously, because they haven't been cropped. Well, a lot of the American and European dogs have had their ears cropped. Now, the reason for this, a lot of people say, oh, how cruel and how horrible. They chop off their tail and they chop off their ears. Well, the reason originally that a lot of those breeds have had their tails docked, they call it docking for the tail and mm-hmm. cropping for the ears, is because these were ratters. These dogs were bred to live in the kitchen in Germany and kill vermin, kill mice and rats uh-huh. that might come into the kitchen. So they had to be small, first of all, to live in the kitchen and to get into those little tight spaces
uh-huh.
and they, you know, you don't want to give anything for a rat to bite on. So
uh-huh.
the tail could be a prime target for the rat, you know, and the dog may not be able to defend itself. Whereas, you know, it, you know, if the rat goes after its leg or its haunch, the dog is able to reach
yeah,
that spot
yeah,
and
yeah.
bite the rat. Whereas the tail, no, the rat could grab onto the tail and really hurt him. And the same thing with the ears. The ears are longer and they're in the way. And so, you know, a rat can get at that.
I see.
So this was, you know, all of the, I mean, there's a reason for all of this. It wasn't just cruelty. You know, it wasn't just, let's be mean and chop up the dog. You know? So they had the reason for that. But I want to go back a little bit to the whole Chihuahua distinction.
Yeah.
Because if you see a Min Pin and a Chihuahua together, then no one could possibly think that they're the same.
Yes, exactly. So,
but, you know, you see the Min Pin on its own, and a lot of people, their only connection to little small dogs like that is the Chihuahua.
Exactly.
So that's why they make that mistake. But the Min Pins have they're much more athletic animals.
Well, yeah, so noisy.
They're more muscular and well defined.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually,
he's
jumping
lean.
Into my arms right now.
Oh,
he's very lean and well defined, and he doesn't have any hair on his underside.
Yeah, Wawa's very lean and a very he's actually quite big because we fed him too much, but not fat, just big. You know.
Well, they can get fat if you let them, because they're a breed that loves to eat. As long as there's food, they'll eat. So you know, unlike other dogs, like a Labrador Retriever, they'll eat and then they'll leave the rest of the food in the bowl. A Min Pin won't, and so if they don't get they need a lot of exercise. They're very active dogs.
Yeah.
If you feed them a lot and don't give exercise, they'll get fat, and then they just stop looking like Min Pins.
Yeah,
they look like little roly-polies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Min Pins also have a longer snout than the Chihuahua.
Yes,
and their chest is more muscular. Like their chest sticks out, and their stomach is
very thin,
lean.
Yeah,
so they look muscular.
Yeah,
So they don't waddle. They actually have a characteristic prance like a horse.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
lift
yeah.
up, they lift up their front legs in such a way that looks like a prance. You know, like the Lipizzaner horses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. I
yeah.
can remember that.
So I'm involved in our local dog run up here in my neighborhood that I live in, and it's our neighborhood's called Inwood, mm-hmm. Inwood, and so we call the group Inwoof.
cute.
And we started inwoof.com. I'm the webmaster of it, and so if people
geek.
Are interested, it's in. I'm a total nerd. I know. Inwoof.com. I heard someone on a podcast the other day say that it's. Was it on yours? The distinction between a geek and a nerd is that nerds get things done.
No, it's not mine.
Okay, it was some other show. But anyway, so inwoof.com, and so we have we had this fundraiser where we would have T-shirts and logos made They were customized. So we have the in woof and the O's in the middle, the O-O at the end, would be the eyes, like the eyes of the dog. So we put the images of the dogs over that. And if anyone goes to Remarkably Mark blog, they'll see the logo that has Steva's little face in it. And so we made t-shirts, and anyone could have it done. So I have this custom t-shirt with Steva on it. And in the back is a little image of Steva just by itself, and it says, if you have to go real close up to the t-shirt, and it says Chihuahua, not. It's very cute.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I said to people, God, if I had a nickel for every time someone in my neighborhood says, ay, mira que Chihuahua linda, que guapo, I say, I would be rich, you know, because, you know, everyone thinks he's a Chihuahua. But
yeah.
He's not.
I think the
black and tan, if you listen to me, I'm even doing it. The black and tan miniature pinchers don't get it as much because they look like Doberman pinchers.
People
have that association. In fact, they think that Minpins are a small version of a Doberman.
Exactly,
but they're not.
Yeah.
Not at all. They're an older breed. The Minpin is about 300 years old, and the Doberman is only about 200 years old.
They're so cute.
Yeah, the Minpin was originally bred as a cross between the Dachshund and the Italian Greyhound.
Oh.
And you can see elements of both animals in the Minpin.
Is the Madge's Trotsky Italian Greyhound?
I don't know. I don't know.
I wonder. Because it's
I think so. I haven't seen photos. I've seen photos of Trotsky. And Trotsky looked like it was a mutt, right?
I'm not sure. It could be an... Okay. I thought Madge said it's Italian Greyhound, but I'm not sure.
We'll have to ask her when she gets back from Europe.
Yeah, if she ever.
If ever she gets back from Europe. You know, one thing, she said she was going to run all those shows, and I think she has been, but she hasn't been posting them on her feed. So... a lot of people, I don't know if we should tell people that John and Archer and I recorded a show for Madge for while she was away, and I don't know that's going to be played.
Yeah, it will only be played on Sirius.
I don't have Sirius.
Yeah, maybe you should get one.
Just so I can listen to myself and I have that on.
if it gets on.
That would be the ultimate in vanity.
Anybody out there who has... whatchamacallit, Sirius Radio.
Sirius Satellite 102.
Yeah, let us know if you hear us.
Yeah. But anyway, I was saying to Archer that I'm going to run that on my show anyway.
Oh,
not,
yeah, yeah.
Whether or not Madge runs it, so.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. So go over to more so to subscribe to Remarkably Mark's podcast.
Yes. And we did a great recording. This was about a couple weeks ago, so it was before I had Remarkably Mark, but... yeah, it was great.
And I'm so
John
glad
and
you
Archer
guys
and I talked.
You guys got me involved. I don't know why, but thanks.
Well, you're the most famous gay Malaysian podcaster in Kansas City.
That I will take.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
who loves Minpins?
Yes, I do. I love all most animals. I don't like gross. Like snake and lizards. I have this thing of phobia of lizards. You
That's
know?
Funny.
Yeah, I cannot stand it. I like cats. I like dogs. A little bit more, normal.
Yeah.
I don't hate them. I just dislike them because I'm afraid of them.
You're afraid of them. Yeah. Well, we've been... That's interesting because... Now, were you raised Christian?
Yes.
See, that's why. Because we Christians have a...
Oh,
people
like
who are
snake.
Raised Christian, we have a socialized fear of snakes and reptiles. In Western culture, reptiles have been seen as bad, whereas in Eastern culture, reptiles and dragons have been seen as good.
A dragon, you know? I'm fine because it's totally fake, but
right. But a dragon is based on a lizard, on a reptile.
Yeah,
you know, the idea of the dragon came from seeing reptiles, and then they made this fantastical creature. But in Western culture, if you look at the dragon in Western culture, the dragon was greedy, would hoard gold, and would steal the damsels, and the heroes in Western culture would have to slay the dragon. Whereas in Chinese culture, as obviously as you can tell me better than anyone, dragons are a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's a fabulous magical creature as opposed to an evil fire breathing.
Exactly. It's a juxtaposition of all the good traits of all animals.
Right. And so if a dragon comes to you, that's supposed to be all the great, you know.
My mom's a dragon.
Is she the year of the dragon?
Yes.
And what is your year?
I'm a tiger.
You're a tiger. I think I'm a boar. I'm not sure. I was 1971.
So next year would be your year.
Well, I'm not sure, though. I was 71. Do you have
71?
A chart or something?
Oh, gosh. Go find a
go to a Chinese restaurant. Go to a takeout restaurant and take that thing on your chopstick.
Okay, now tell me, though. 1971, your birthday is what
February 3rd.
Okay, that could be tough because you're very close to the change of year in the Chinese lunar calendar.
Right, that's right, in the lunar calendar. That's
you may
true.
Be in between, but a good website to go to if you read Chinese is nongli.com, nongli.com.
Nongli.
But you have to
I don't read Chinese.
Read Chinese.
Well.
But you can find out whether or
I'll
not
I'll print it out and go down to the corner at the Chinese restaurant and ask them to translate for me because they're Cantonese here.
Are you a bitch? Okay, so was it 1971?
1971,
February. 1971,
February when?
February 3rd. February 3rd. Oh, yeah,
I'm
that is so close.
Aquarius.
Let me see. You're a boar.
I'm a boar.
You are a boar.
I'm boring. I'm so boring.
Can you tell?
Yeah.
I'm already tuned out.
No, I'm sure. Does it give characteristics? Tell me what are the characteristics of the boar.
Okay, let me see.
Someone who's born in the year of the boar. I love boar, by the way. Cinghiale, which you get in central Italy, in Umbria. It's cured wild boar meat. Oh, it's really amazing.
I call it pig. And that's why I don't lose weight, because next year I'm going to go back to Malaysia. I'm going to have a Penang Hokkien listener get together. And it's to celebrate Chinese New Year. And so it's a year of the pig, and I'm a pig, and I have to be fat for that, so I don't want to lose weight.
Now, yeah, they do have different, so the boar and the pig have different years, because they're different animals, right? I mean, the boar is a wild animal.
Actually, it's the same.
No?
It's called the boar, though, but it's typically called the year of the boar, but in
Chinese, what is your year?
It's the same. I'm the tiger.
What are you? You're the tiger.
74,
right? You just told me, right?
Yeah.
You just told me. Oh, you're young.
Yeah, a little younger than you, but... You will always be older, yay. but never mind. It doesn't matter. It
won't go there.
I don't know what it says. There's too many Chinese characters and I don't know what it says.
Oh, please. You're a Chinaman?
I'm a Chinaman. Did you listen to the last show, the 50th episode on Mikey Pod's show? If you don't...
I didn't.
Yeah, check
I've
that out.
I've listened to a show, but I didn't listen to that one
Check number 50 out. I won't spoil it for you. So for those of you who haven't listened to it, go check it out. MikeyPod.com, I think.
MikeyPod on the Bayou.
MikeyPod.com, and go check out episode 50, because there is a song, a disco show, and there's a song dedication to me, and I will
to
not...
John.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I suggested that.
The Eye of the Tiger.
You just have to go find out. What a tease. Gosh, let me
see. So, you know, Steva is actually sleeping in my arms now.
I think if I let my cat in, he would probably be sleeping in between my legs too. He is like a snuggle thing. And sometimes I realize, oh my gosh, there's a lot of Wawa in chai. And my cat is chai. And
how spicy.
Just a tiny bit. As spicy as his daddy.
Yeah.
Me. Chai, the reason why we named him Chai, oh my gosh, the show's getting long. I'm going to finish after this. I'm going to burp, though.
Oh, yeah, we can't go through a show without you burping.
Chai has this color of the chai tea color. And white and slight brown. And so we named Chai, and Chai also...
Milky, with little spots of cardamom.
Exactly. with a little cloud of milk that is not mixed in yet. And so his Chai is also means, as you remember, Gong Hei Fa Choi.
Gong Hei Fa Choi.
In Chinese, Fa Choi. Choi. In Cantonese, is Choi. But in Chinese, it's Gong Xi Fa Chai. Chai is, it's a good word for Chinese. What can I say? Because Chai is wealth. And so
Yeah, they're wishing you good wealth
for yeah.
the new year.
And,
that's what that gong hye fa chai.
Exactly. That's why I say money and money and money and money. And so, and chai also means zai. Zai itself, zai, different pronunciation, slightly different. Zai is also means son, like, you know, the boy child, son.
Okay.
So,
now, is that
so
anything, works that's all, that's not anything like zai jian, that's different.
No, that's different. Zai jian, no, that's zai. Zai.
Because that's more like we would transliterate to
T-S.
As opposed to ch.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
In fact, if you want to learn the proper way of romanizing, well, not really romanizing, but we call something what we call Hanyu
yes.
pinyin. Hanyu pinyin is to pronounce, to pretty much write out the word as a code of pronouncing a certain word. And when
yeah.
you do z sound like zai, and it will be a z, zh would be a jai. So when you hear people pronouncing z, something z, it's actually supposed to be z. And like zai. Zai jian would be Z-A-I, zai, jian.
Okay, but not T-S.
Yeah, not T-S, officially, if you
of,
want to go with a
right.
Chinese proper
Well, I
way.
Think about, like, even, like that's a name, like Ming Sai, he's a chef, he's actually
Correct.
On the Culinary Podcast Network, and it's,
oh,
he's spelled
he?
His name,
Do you know him?
T-S-A-I. I don't know him, but although, when he comes to New York next, we're supposed to have an interview, which
oh,
will be really
wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah, tell him hi.
He's a great chef. He's a really good
I know.
Guy.
I went to this restaurant, Blue Ginger, in Boston.
Oh, yeah, in Boston.
Oh,
That's
my
gosh,
to die for, I tell you.
Yes.
I
he
had
has
the
a
muscles.
Fabulous cookbook from that. It was his first cookbook. It's called Blue Ginger.
Yeah.
And it's got some really great... What I love about Ming Sai is that he teaches foundational techniques in his cooking. He
mm-hmm.
gives you a lot of history about sort of what are the foundational techniques. And of course, his big thing is that he does East-West cooking. He combines Eastern and Western techniques.
Because
that's what he is. He's an American, but he has Chinese heritage. You know?
Yeah, Chinese.
His parents were from China,
cooking
but he grew
background.
Up... Yeah, he grew up here in America, so he's an American boy, and I guess that's kind of how you are now.
Well, not
you're
quite,
East
yeah.
meets West.
No, I'll
you're
never
a Malaysian,
be...
and you've been enculturated to our decadent Western ways.
Exactly, but I can never be a. I'm sort of stuck in between now. You know, I can never be completely American. Well, not completely. I cannot really be American meaning. Culturally, because I will be eventually,
right.
I will be American citizenship wise,
yeah.
but not in the culturally. I think because I came here when I was already that age that I'm
yeah.
beyond
I mean, you
turning
grew
into.
Up.
The, yeah,
right. I mean, you grew up in your home country, so that's
so,
going to be.
But
your
I kind of like
you know?
That though. I kind of like to be able to you know enjoy the culture that I enjoy, meaning I can do a lot of stuff that. Here in the United States of America that I don't usually get to do because of cultural differences and
right.
But still embracing my own culture and my own past, which
that's
I like.
What's great about America.
Yeah. Oh my
whore,
the show is getting long.
Okay. We better get off.
Thank you. I don't think I can stop.
Let me go get off.
Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. No.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's end the show and then
okay.
And then you can go get off whichever way you want.
And we can sing.
In fact, I'll be closing with this. Thank you so much for listening. And go to my website, onlinepodcast.com, and we can link you there to Remarkably Mark and also Remarkable Podcast. Remarkable Palette Podcast.
There you go.
So thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark. And
thanks, John.
I will maybe, hopefully, I'm definitely going to have you back. That's for
okay.
sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And don't forget to smile,
Bye,
ladies.
Steva.
I think I have a lot more song. Maybe not. Oh, I played the wrong song. Fuck. Now the show
Bye,
is even
baby.
Longer. This is the actual closing song because it does end. The other one is an opening song. Let's just dance to the music. Dance to the music. And as I always say, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your weekend and be a whore. Not really, but
ciao
if you want
bello.
To, just be safe. And yeah, ciao bella. And I'll talk to you later. And don't forget to smile. Bye.